All right, welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio for the students, by the students, soon to be KBLU, 92.3, and we're all pretty excited about that. So it is no longer the weekend, which is sad for everybody, but I mean, there are some good things about it being the week again, and one of those is that we have a special interview today with Lou Evans, and so he's going to be here in probably about 10 to 15 minutes. And so after he gets here, we will do that interview. But before then, we do have some stuff to go through. To start out, we're going to give you a kind of a recap of some stuff that's going on with Aggie Sports. Our men's tennis team on Friday beat New Mexico. So they won 4-3. So it was a close one, but they were able to get the victory there. For track, we actually had some exciting news. One of our one of our runners, Cashley Carter, set the school record in the 5,000 meter run, which, by the way, is an extremely long run. Like, I wouldn't run that far ever, not at one time anyway. Maybe over the course of my life I might get that much, but definitely not at once. But she finished, or she run the She ran for the record with the 5,000 meter, and the team had 4 meets last week, so that was a lot. And so they did pretty good with that. Our softball team had a great weekend. They swept UNLV down in Las Vegas, winning all 3 games. So did a great job there. Our women's tennis team, they lost to Northern Arizona, so a little bit of sadness there. But our women's gymnastics team had their regionals, their regional meet, and they ended up taking 5th at that. So not really the result they wanted, but it's still a good experience for them, and I know they really enjoyed it. And the good thing is they just had to go down to Salt Lake. I mean, on that flip side, they didn't get to go anywhere super far away that would be fun to go to. But
yeah, they finished with 195.025.
So, I mean,
good job to them for even making it to the tournament.
Yeah,
that's a huge accomplishment.
Very few teams actually make it to the regional, so I want to congratulate them on that. Utah and UCLA advanced from that regional to the finals in the for the nationals, so congrats to Utah, one of our local sibling
schools.
Yeah,
they're kind
like,
of
they're like our brother school, whatever.
Yeah, not BYU though.
Nah.
Mm-mm.
More like the the ugly cousin.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then our men's tennis team beat Air Force yesterday, and to kind of cap off a good week. And so they're doing great. Our men's golf team is back in action today and tomorrow at the Wyoming Cowboy Classic. Our softball team is playing against Montana, and that's going to be in Logan at 1 o'clock on Wednesday and then 3 o'clock on Wednesday, doing a doubleheader. You can catch that on UtahStateAggies.tv. And so that should be something to check out. And then our women's tennis team is in action versus Air Force on Friday here, as is our men's tennis team. The women's will start at 11, and the men's will start at 2 on Friday. So make sure you check those out.
Yeah, and the men's, they're 3-0 in conference. So Nevada is a game in conference as well, so hopefully they can go 4-0. So make sure you get out and support them on Friday.
Yeah, and
I'll be there.
And like I said, they're having a great season, so it's not like you're just going to be watching our team fail. So,
yeah, they're doing really well, especially with they only have 2 returning players this year. So they're doing really well as a team.
Yeah, and our softball team is taking on San Jose State this Friday and Saturday. Friday, they're going to start at 3, and Saturday at noon. And then they play again on Sunday at noon as well, and that's going to be against San Jose State once again, here in Logan at the fields, just down the street from here. And then UCLA, or the track team is going to UCLA for the UCLA Invitational on Saturday. And so that would be exciting for them to get to go to LA where the weather's all nice and everything. And yeah, and then our women's tennis team is in action again on Sunday against New Mexico at 10 o'clock. And our men's tennis team at 2 o'clock on Sunday against Fresno State. So, a lot going on this week. It's pretty exciting. Yeah, that's kind of an update. Do you have anything that you want to add?
Just a reminder to go to the football scrimmage.
Yeah,
on
that's true.
Saturday.
I forgot to announce
that. I think it's at 2 p.m.
I believe you're right. We'll get the...
And then the music festival is all day on Saturday. Yeah. And the USU Dance Company concert at 7 p.m. at the Ellen Eccles Theater.
Yeah, so we got a lot going on this Saturday as they're banging the door up against the wall over there. But anyway, so this Saturday, as she was mentioning, we do have Logan City Limits. So basically, it's just a music festival that goes on all day. And as long as the weather's good, it'll be on the quad. And if the weather isn't good, then it'll be inside the TSC in, like, the ballrooms. And that's all day from 11 to 11. And it's free. You get to check out a lot of bands. There's a lot of bands going on. And we have been playing some of the stuff that from these bands that are coming. For example, just, you know, probably about 15 minutes before this show, there was a song by Small Pools, and they're coming. And so it's great opportunity. You get to listen to music all day, and it's free.
Yeah, Westward the Tide will be there, too. I think they've come to Utah State before.
Yeah, we got a lot of people coming in. And they're pretty good, too, so make sure you come and check that out. And also, like I said, we got that football scrimmage. And we will make sure we get you the exact details, but I think she is correct in saying that it's at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's at Maverick Stadium,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it called Maverick Stadium now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know they're in the process of redoing it. Still.
Well, yeah, they renamed it during last spring game.
Okay, I forgot about that. Sorry.
No, that's good. But yeah, so it'll be exciting to see what the football team is doing. I know that they've been practicing for a few weeks now and been... It's been going well, according to everybody involved, so that's good, and hopefully they can bounce back and have a little bit better season than they did this year, because they had a little bit of a disappointing season. It wasn't a terrible season, but it wasn't as good as, you know, anybody wanted, and so I'm sure that the whole team is driven to go a little bit, push a little bit harder and get over that, and so yeah, go check it out. Get to see what our team is going to look like, at least in part, during the spring break, or spring game. I almost said spring break game, but it's not, because spring break was a little while ago.
Yeah. On the bright side, we only have about a month left until the end of the semester.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I can't wait.
And like really, finals are like the last week of April, aren't they?
It depends. Last week of April, first week of May-ish.
Yeah. But anyway, and then, like she said, at 7 o'clock that night, we have the USC Dance Company is doing their performance concert.
Yeah, it's called Let's Dance.
All right, and where is that?
It's at the Ellen Eccles Theater. It's the theater on Main Street.
Right, and how much is it for the tickets?
It's $7 for students.
So, make sure you get your tickets and go check that out.
Yeah, we're going to be advertising in the TSC. Today through Wednesday, like 11 to 2-ish, and you can come and enter in a raffle to win free tickets.
So score.
And we'll be giving out candy and possibly dancing.
So, I mean, like, what could go wrong with going and checking that out? But anyway, that's kind of our update about what's going on. We're going to take a break and listen to Renegades by Ex-Ambassadors, and when we come back, we're going to do our Spotlight Athlete of the Week thing, and then also our Hall of Shame. So, yeah, here's Renegades by Ex-Ambassadors. welcome back to KBLU 92.3. And this is the bullpen. And right now we're going to jump into our spotlight athlete. And so that is actually, I already mentioned who it was earlier. But it's Lou Evans, because he's going to be here in just a couple minutes to do an interview with us. And we're going to find out all about him and his experience here at Utah State, and probably a little bit about what it was like at Tulsa and what the differences were. But you know, he was a big part of this year for our basketball team, did a great job, and kind of led the team at some games, and overall was awesome. So I'm excited to get to interview him and learn more about him. And right now I've got our Hall of Shame, which I have one entry, which is kind of a biggie.
Yeah, it's kind of my entry as well.
Yeah, our combined entry, have one. And that is Oklahoma. The University of Oklahoma basketball team. You get an entry into the Hall of Shame because you lost by 44 points in the Final Four. And that's just terrible. Like, that's the worst margin of defeat in Final Four history. So they lost 95-51, and it was ugly the whole game. Buddy Hield didn't score much of anything, and the team couldn't shoot anything well at all.
Yeah. Villanova just completely came and blew them out. Like, the way they've been playing, I wouldn't be surprised if they won the whole thing.
Yeah, last week when we were, last Friday, I made the selection that I thought Oklahoma was going to win that game. But after watching that game, I don't feel like I can choose against Villanova this week.
No.
But the way it's going, it might just jinx them and make it so North Carolina wins. But North Carolina is also a good team, but Villanova is just playing insane right now. And so Buddy Hield, he was a favorite for the National Player of the Year for a lot of people. He didn't win it. That went to Valentine. But he scores like 20-something points every night. He scored 30, over 30 a couple times in this tournament. And he was held to just 9 points in that game. He went 4 for 12 and 1 for 8 from the three-point line. As a team, they shot 31.7% from the field and 22.2% from the three-point line. And so that's just awful to begin with. And that's just way different than what they usually do. And on the flip side, Villanova couldn't seem to miss. They shot 71.4% from the field.
Wow.
And 61.1% from the three-point line, which are both just ridiculous numbers. So, it's an entry to the Hall of Shame for Oklahoma, but, Villanova did a really good job. And I think it wasn't so much that they did so well on offense, it was how well they played on defense, but Oklahoma just didn't get off the bus for that game. And I thought they were down, 14 at halftime. And I thought, Oklahoma is at least going to make this interesting. I thought they still could come back. But then after halftime, I don't know what happened, but the difference kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was pretty terrible. The Villanova outscored Oklahoma 53-23 in the second half. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And for that, Oklahoma gets an entry into the Hall of Shame. And going to make a cool little recording thing for that segment. And it comes from Game of Thrones, so it's going to be interesting for all those who know it.
What does it say?
There's this part. It was in, I think it was either the last or the second to last episode of last season, where the queen has to walk through the streets and the lady behind her is saying shame, 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 the entire time for 10 minutes, they had that going on. And so yeah, I'm gonna make one of those at some point. Hopefully I'll get it done this week.
That's gonna be funny.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, you should, because it's going to be awesome.
Shame.
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 But yeah, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll interview Lou Evans, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hasn't gotten here yet, but he should get here during our break. So we're going to listen to Gold by Imagine Dragons.
Aggie Radio and Utah State University Student Association are pleased to announce the 7th Annual Logan City Limits Music Festival. Saturday, April 9th at Utah State University. Featuring Small Pools, The National Parks, Westward the Tide, Fictionist, and many more of the best local bands from Las Vegas, Provo, Salt Lake, Ogden, and Logan. This is Utah's largest free music festival. Everyone is invited to this free event, so don't miss out. Find the Facebook event page for more details. The 7th Annual Logan City Limits Music Festival, Saturday, April 9th.
get mine.
All right, welcome back to the bullpen here on Aggie Radio. So Lou hasn't made it here, so hopefully he still makes it. But in the meantime, we are going to talk about some controversial issues and kind of our take and what we think. And hopefully we have some back and forth on this and that we don't just completely agree with each other, because that's always boring. So if we do agree with each other, I'll probably take the opposite side just to argue it. Because I can usually argue both sides of it, but it should be interesting. I guess the first thing, the NBA and NFL shouldn't make college a requirement. What do you think?
I think they should.
Yeah?
I feel like it's crucial to get some experience in college before you go to the NBA or NFL.
Yeah.
Kind of prepare yourself for what's going to be out there, you know?
Yeah, I will say that I do think that for the NFL, for sure, they do need to keep college as a requirement, because there is a big difference between someone coming out of high school and somebody who is in the NFL. Because, yeah. Like,
and people in the NFL are just so big.
Yeah, they're huge, and like, they're extremely
a teenager,
fast. Yeah, and...
like, more risk of injury.
Yeah, for sure. And when you're just, like, a little 18-year-old kid coming out of high school, and you go against someone like a 30-year-old guy who's been in the league for years and is just totally jacked, like, it's going to be tough to go against them, and you're going to get hurt, like you were saying. For basketball, with the way they've got it, I think it would be almost better for college basketball if they just, like, took away that requirement that you could just go when you're 18. Because people are leaving after 1 year, and it really messes up scholarships and stuff. If you just make it so that kids can go straight from high school to the NBA if they want to, because some kids are good enough to do it, then you can have more scholarships for other basketball players who want to play college basketball, who aren't good enough to make it to the NBA, but those scholarships and those positions on the roster are taken away because you've got these guys who come for only 1 year and then leave.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then you look at players like Kobe Bryant, who he was drafted at 17, and he was in the league by the time he was 18, and he was one of the greatest of all time. So
yeah.
I don't think if you're good enough to be in the NBA, I think you should be able to go and not do college.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that for basketball, it's all right because there's not as much of the physicality factor. I mean, obviously, basketball is a physical sport, but there's not, like, the head-on collisions that are going to be a lot more dangerous when you have that age gap that you do. I think having a couple years in college helps with that. You develop a lot more during those years. And let's be honest, in high school, you don't really have – most places won't have a great kind of workout regimen or whatever to, like, build muscle. Like, you can do it a little bit, but it's a lot different when you come to college. They're a lot more on top of it and helping you to bulk up, and while also keeping your, like, athleticism and increasing your speed and all that. And just really in high schools, you don't have access to all the facilities and the amount of people that you would need to do that. And so I think that it is really important for football to be able to play in college before you go to the NFL. And so I think that what they should do is they should make the requirement that if you do go to college for basketball, that you have to stay for 2 years at least. And
that's true.
I mean, because I'm not a big fan of the one and dones. I think that it kind of hurts it because, you know, it becomes more about, like, I'm just going to this school for 1 year just because I have to. Not because they want to, like, you know, have any pride for the school and for the team. So I think that if you're going to go to college, like, you have to stay at least 2 years. And, I mean, that's almost what they have with college football, is you have to have 3 years from when you left high school before you can go to the NFL, which I like. I think that rule's good. Some guys can leave early if they want.
Yeah, but let's be honest. If a player in college has an opportunity to go to the NBA at any point, they're going to jump on that opportunity.
Yeah.
And they'll probably be upset if they have to stay for 2 years. But
well,
I agree with that. I'm just saying
they would know going in, like, that that's the deal. It's like, yeah, if you come, like, you have to stay for 2 years.
Yeah.
I think that that would be a good rule to implement because it shows a little bit more, I don't know, it works out better for the colleges, I think, it's a little bit more stable. Because with, like, Kentucky, everyone who's eligible for the draft is going to the draft. And so they're going to have a completely blank roster. Well, of course, that isn't necessarily true, because they did make that change just recently where you can declare for the draft as long as you don't hire an agent. You can pull out before May 25th, and you can come back. And so that'll probably happen for some of them.
Yeah, if not, like, that's what Jalen did.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
He's not hiring an agent, and he can withdraw by May 25th.
Yeah, and I think for Jalen, he's not really planning on leaving. I think it's just a way to get more exposure so that next year scouts are keeping more an eye on what he's doing. So
yeah, he said it's kind of just a method to get his name out there and to get people to notice his game, and he can go and do the workouts and stuff, and then most likely come back and play a senior year.
Yeah, I mean,
the team could really use him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but if he does decide to go, I'm sure we'll have guys that'll be ready to step up. We do have some good recruits coming in that I'm excited about. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, the thing about it, though, is there's just so much in flux that if everyone can leave at any time, like, you don't know what you're going to have next year. So, like, for Kentucky, like, how do you plan for losing 12 players? Like, you suddenly have to recruit a few more players than you were planning on or whatever. So.
Are 12 other players really going to make it into the NBA, though?
Calipari did say that that everyone who was eligible to go to the draft was going to declare for the draft. So, not everyone will stay in it, I don't think, because some of the guys won't, you know, aren't going to get drafted, and so it would be dumb to still leave. So I think that a lot of them will pull out of that before the deadline. But if they all, for some reason, did go, like, that's a huge hole for Kentucky, and I mean, they kind of deserve it for using that, like, that style of recruiting, just going for one-and-dones, because it'll backfire at some point. But at the same time, there's no commitment to schools for these players. They just, you know, if you only have to be there 1 year, you don't really have to do super well with your grades. You don't have to try that hard. And it's like, well, I'm just biding my time until I can leave. And then you have players like Ben Simmons, who is a very talented player. He's a freshman at LSU, and he's going to be drafted one of the top spots in the draft this year. But he hasn't even been playing as hard as, you know, people expected him to play, because he doesn't need to, because he's good enough to get by and everyone knows how good he is, but he's just kind of biding his time until he can go to the NBA. And so, like, for players like that, I think that they should have the option to just go to the NBA if they're, like, good enough.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with the style that players are just kind of there to play basketball and they're not really focusing on school. I think that if you're in college, you should kind of be focusing on school. Yeah, and I know that they travel a ton, and there's a lot of situations where they can't be in class or they have to miss tests. But I think that student athletes should focus on school, even if they are going to the NBA. I mean, a degree can't hurt.
And for, like, a lot of student athletes, they do. But there are some that just don't care because they're only going to be there 1 year. So, I mean, for them, they only really have to make sure that they have good enough grades by the end of the first semester. And by the end of the second semester, they can totally flunk out and be fine because they're not going back, so it doesn't matter. So, I mean, that's another thing. It's like, if you have to be there for 2 years, like, you'll have to show more of a commitment to doing your schoolwork as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was that divisive issue. We also have the Redskins. Whether or not they should change their name.
Oh, we actually talked about this in my media smarts class.
Right, what'd you guys?
Just say? How, like, addressing Native Americans in that way can be really offensive, but people think it's okay because there's an NFL team named the Redskins.
Yeah, the thing about it is, like, there are some Native Americans that do say that it's really offensive to them that the Redskins have that name. And for others, they don't care. And so I think it depends. I don't think it's really, like, that they really think of it as a derogatory thing. Obviously, the origins of that name is derogatory towards Native Americans. But I feel at this point it doesn't really matter because it's not like, I don't know, it's, I feel like cultures are blended enough that it's not really an issue. And I think it's just really that they don't want to change their name after having had it for so long. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that it would be good if they could find something that was more appropriate. But at the same time, I don't know that I feel that they should be forced to do it because...
I think that they should. Yeah. I think it's kind of an issue to the small percentage of people that it offends, and I just don't think it should be, a norm to call, a team that. But they have had that name for a while, and changing it would be a big deal. Yeah. So,
I mean,
I could go really either way on this topic, but...
Yeah, that's the thing about it is, I mean, you can go either way. Obviously, I don't support, discriminative speaking about Native Americans or any ethnicity. But for me, this, I don't know, it hasn't been an issue until the last few years. Why has it gone that long? Because I can understand for a while that it wouldn't have been an issue because... For a while, there was a lot of racism in this country, but it didn't show up until recently. And so, I don't know. And the people, like I said, a lot of Native American tribes, they don't care. And some think, it's cool that they are getting somewhat represented. It's kind of like the thing a few years ago, I think, with college sports. They said that each team that had a mascot that was a Native American tribe or... nickname or something, that they would have to make sure it was okay with the local Native Americans to keep using it. And I know for Utah, they talked to the Utes, the Ute tribe, and they said that they were honored that they used their name or whatever. Obviously, it's a different thing when you're talking about Redskins as opposed to maybe Chiefs, because Chiefs isn't really the same thing. But I mean, at the same time, it is.
Yeah, and their mascot is Swoop, so it's not it's a bird. It's not anything offensive.
No, it's not. And I think that they never really were doing anything that would be offensive, I don't think. But yeah, with Redskins, it's, it's one way or the other. I mean, I see both sides of the issue, and I think it would be good for the Redskins to decide to rebrand the franchise. But I don't think that forcing them to do it would be the right course of action, because you're kind of taking away their freedom of speech, and they're not directing at any, anyone in particular. Obviously, as a group, you could be it could be construed as bad, but I don't think that it necessarily inspires hate. So I think that the Redskins should decide that they should come up with something else, but they shouldn't be forced to do it.
Yeah.
Because then it seems more like they're taking away their rights to what they already have. So, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what they came up with if they did change it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what they would call themselves.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it would have something to do with the Capitol, something to do with Congress or whatever. I mean, for the baseball team, they're the Nationals. So, I feel like it'd be something similar to that. Just something to do with the country as a whole or for the government. So it'd be interesting to see. Probably won't happen in the near future, but maybe at some point. I think pressure will be enough over time for them to decide to do it, but
yeah,
at this point I don't think they will.
It's an interesting topic.
Yeah. Let's see another one. If it will load. I guess we'll just go with this one. Another one is bailing before shaking hands after a game. Some players won't do it. They'll be done with the game, and after the game, you go and you shake hands or give five or whatever as you go by, say good game or whatever. And then some people will just leave because they're upset about the game. Which seems like something Cam Newton would do, but to his credit, He did go and meet Peyton Manning on the field, and so he didn't just bail. So that was during the press conference.
So after he threw himself to the ground.
Yeah, like a child.
Multiple times.
Yeah, so.
I think that you should have to shake hands after the game.
Yeah, I mean, because, like,
it's just good sportsmanship, and, like, it makes you look dumb if you're being a bad sport.
Yeah, it does. And,
like, it's just not professional.
It's not at all. And really, I mean, it is just a game. And so when a team beats you, barring that if they were, like, playing dirty and stuff, if they beat you fair and square, like, I mean, you have to show respect for what they were able to accomplish and just, you know, recognize, you know, you outplayed us. Now, if there was, like, cheating involved, I mean, I'm not as inclined to feel like you should have to give him five, but still because of respect. But you still do it because, you know, that's respecting the game, I think. So you do it whether or not it's respecting the other team or respecting the game. But I do feel like it is important to do. Another thing that I just thought about that, I don't know, bugs me is when athletes won't put their hand on their heart for the national anthem.
Ugh.
It drives me nuts to no end. I mean, for athletes from other countries, I'm okay with you not doing it because it's not your country. But for those that are from the U.S., why wouldn't you honor your flag?
Yeah.
And even in the World Championships for track and field, Usain Bolt from Jamaica made a point of putting his hand on his heart and showing respect for the American national anthem when it played. Like, he was doing an interview and he started to hear it going on. He's like, oh, can you hold on a minute? And then, like, he stood there and he held his hand on his heart and watched it. So,
yeah.
I was really impressed by that.
Well, it just shows respect to our country and those who have defended our country.
Yeah.
So even if you have a problem, just, like, show respect to those who have worked hard to defend this country.
Yeah, I mean, because putting your hand on your heart isn't saying that you agree with everything that is going on in your country or what the government is doing. It's just showing that, you know, you respect, like you said, what the armed services have done and what they do to protect our freedom and keep us so we don't have to deal with, like, a war-torn country.
Yeah.
Because that would suck.
Like, we have it good here.
Yeah, so, I mean, it drives me nuts when athletes don't do it that are from the U.S. Like I said, from other countries, I don't expect them to do it. If they do, great. I mean, awesome, but I don't expect them to do it because they have their own country and that they're loyal to, and that's good.
Yeah.
But when you watch the NBA and you got a bunch of players that, like, just hold their hands behind their back and aren't even looking at the flag, they're, like, looking at the ground. It's like, what is your problem?
Yeah.
At least that's the way I see it.
That's not cool.
Yeah. And
disrespectful.
Another one. The college football playoff is officially perfect. Don't agree with that. I mean, I do agree it's a step in the right direction. It has made it better that we can have, you know, more of a chance to find out which team is the best one. Instead of just we'll decide which ones we think, the two teams that we think are the best in the country, and then we will just put them in a game and say that the winner is the national champion. I do believe that the new playoff with four teams does improve it, but I don't think it's enough. I mean, still this last year, there were a couple teams like Stanford that I thought could have won against the teams that were in the playoff. I think that this year Stanford could have won it all if they had made it into the playoff. And so I do feel it isn't a step in the right direction, and you can't really do a thing like they do with college basketball with a 68-team tournament, because that's just, there's a lot more, it's a lot harder to play that many football games, especially in quick succession, than it is for basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot more contact, there's a lot more likelihood of getting injured, and it's
super
just a lot
hard
harder
on your body.
Yeah, and so I don't think that they should ever get up to that high, but I do think that they should add on I make it at least 8 and see how that works out. I think that with 8 you should be good enough. You're still going to have controversy about who's getting in, but I still think that if you give 8 teams a chance to play and see who can come out as the national champion, then that would make it a lot better, I think. Because, like I said, Stanford this year, they were a great team. They slipped up twice and lost, and so that's why they didn't make it in. Their schedule or whatever, their record, didn't make it so that they should have gotten in, but they were good enough to play with any of the other teams that were in the playoff and probably beat them. And I think that where they have the Power 5 conferences, one of your conference champions for sure isn't going to be in every year. And maybe two if you have, if they feel that someone, two teams from one conference or an independent team deserves to go. And so I think that you should have an 8-team playoff. You have the champions from each league and then 3 at-large bids. So I think that would be a better system. But like I said, it's a lot better than it was when it was just the BCS National Championship, because a lot of times those weren't close, and some of the better, like the teams, like after you watch the bowl games, you realize, oh, well, that team was much better than we had thought, and so we should have given them a chance. So I think it's better, but I think it still needs work. What do you think?
I agree with you. I don't know. I don't know very much about football, to be honest.
That's terrible.
I know some about basketball.
Terrible. Got to study up on that.
Yeah, I'll study up on that, and I'll get back to you on Monday about what I think.
It is Monday.
I mean Friday.
I mean, I got the Monday blues. If you need a full week, but yeah.
But the Utah Jazz are doing well. They have, like, one of the top defense in the league right now.
Yeah, they play pretty well on defense. One exciting thing to note is that Alec Burks is going to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming back from his injury.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And Shelvin Mack has started, like, 21 games so far.
Yeah.
So that's crazy, because he didn't fit very well on the Atlanta Hawks, but I feel like he's the Jazz is a team where he can kind of show off his skills a little bit more, and he's getting a lot of playing time.
And he's done a pretty good job, I think.
Yeah.
I believe that in some games he scored a lot, and he's really helped the team out a lot. So I think it was a good pickup for them, and they didn't really have to give him much for him. It's just a second-round pick, I think, and let's face it, second-round picks rarely do anything in the NBA.
But a lot of people think they're going to trade Trey Burke because they have Shelvin Mack now.
Yeah, with Trey Burke, like, I don't know. It would probably be good to keep him, but he probably wouldn't want to be just, like, in his current situation. I don't think he'd want to stay there. Like, next year, they keep Shelvin Mack and have Dante Exum. I mean, there's probably not much place for him.
Yeah, he's getting barely any play time.
But, I mean,
he could go to a different team.
He could. But I think that he is a good spark off the bench. But he just doesn't have the physicality and the defensive prowess to be an elite point guard. You know, he's a little bit undersized, and so he can't keep up with the Russell Westbrooks of the NBA and Damian Lillard's, who are just like freaks. They're probably like 5 or 6 inches taller than Burke.
Yeah.
And he's just not big enough to deal with them.
Yeah, and he's not great about passing the ball, which is something the Jazz need.
Yeah.
And Shelvin Mack has been better with that, and he's gotten a lot of rebounds.
Yeah. I think Shelvin Mack definitely was an upgrade. Trey Burke, like I said, he's a good spark off the bench. He's good at scoring, but I mean, he doesn't do enough to warrant being a starter. And he's not going to be a starter anywhere, I don't think, unless it's maybe the 76ers, because they're so depleted. But he's not going to be a starter anywhere. So I think that for him, it would be in his best interest to be a role player here on the Jazz. But at the same point, he might have more time playing somewhere else as well.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens with
him. The way I see it is, like, next year, you got Exum and Mack are both going to be ahead of him on the depth chart, and so he's not going to get a ton of minutes. And so he might be able to go somewhere and be a backup.
Yeah.
But he is good for the Jazz at times, but, I mean, at the same time, yeah. He is a liability at times.
Yeah. Rudy Gobert has been phenomenal lately, though.
Yeah.
Against the Timberwolves, his defense was just on point.
Yeah, he is a beast, and you really felt his presence, like his lack of his presence, when he was gone. Like the Jazz defense was not nearly as good.
And yeah, so, he's a huge piece for the Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, you know, he's not the greatest offensive player, but he brings so much defensively.
Well, they don't need him to do that. They have guys like Gordon Hayward.
And even Favors can go off.
Go off and score a ton of points. They need help on the defensive end, which obviously it's going well because they have the best defense in the league right now. Almost the best.
Yeah, they're up there for sure. But I feel like the Spurs probably have a better defense. And Warriors as well. They're both really good defensive teams. But, I mean, the Spurs, they held the Golden State to their lowest point total on the season.
Yeah, but it's cool for the Jazz, though, because they're not as big of a market team as the Spurs or the Warriors, and the fact that they can come out and play like that,
I
think it's pretty impressive.
The Spurs are about the same market size. San Antonio isn't that big.
Really?
I think. Yeah, San Antonio is a small market. Relatively speaking, it's probably about the same as the Jazz.
No, I thought the Blazers and the Jazz.
I think Portland's around there too. Oklahoma City is another one that's down, like, there's a small market. But, I mean, those teams are all doing pretty well. But
I think the Jazz and the Blazers are smaller than OKC and San Antonio.
They're about the same.
The Spurs are a huge team, and they've been good for a really long time.
Well, yeah, the Spurs have been good for a long time. Oklahoma City has been good since they went there, but that doesn't change the market size. The market size is like the area that they're in.
You're comparing Utah to Texas.
No, to San Antonio. Because you remember that there are two other teams in Texas, in Dallas and Houston, which are both a lot bigger than San Antonio. San Antonio is, like, it's separated from those two, and it's not, I mean, it's probably about the size of Salt Lake. So, I mean, there probably are more Spurs fans because they've been good for a long time, and, yeah, they have Texas. But as far as the area in which they consider, like, the market area, they're about the same size. So, obviously, the Spurs have had a lot more success, and so a lot more people know about them, and a player would be a lot more willing to go, like LaMarcus Aldridge. But as far as, like, the market, like, when they talk about market size, they're about the same.
Okay. I don't know if I believe you.
You don't have to.
You should prove this to me.
All right. We'll look at it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to look up those stats and stuff.
But anyway, before we go, I do want to talk about one more controversial topic. And this one would be designated hitters in baseball, which... I don't know if you know a ton about baseball.
I don't.
But yeah, so for the American League, they have a designated hitter every game. And so that means the pitcher doesn't bat ever during American League games. When the American League is the home team. And the National League does not have the designated hitter, so whenever it's a National League game, whenever the National League team is home, then they play with the pitcher bats. And so a lot of people have the argument that, you know, they should make both leagues equal. Either they both have designated hitters or both don't. I think that it's cool at times to have a designated hitter because you can add someone else that can hit really well. Pitchers tend to not be able to hit very well. But at the same time, if they take away the designated hitter, it makes it a little bit more interesting because then pitchers would have to work harder on being good at hitting. And so I think that they should take away the designated hitter. And I think that kind of makes it more interesting because I think it's lame when pitchers just pitch. I mean, because that everyone else on the field, like, they have to play their defensive position as well as hit. And I think it's dumb when they take that away from the pitchers. So.
Yeah. Okay. The Spurs have the 6th largest salary cap and the Jazz have the 27th.
Yeah, but you're talking about salary cap, not market size.
Well, still. If they have salary cap, a higher salary cap, they can draft better players, which will draw in a larger audience.
Okay, so everyone has the same salary cap. The Spurs are using more of the salary cap than the Jazz, but they also have a lot of players that are good that they have to pay. And the Jazz have a lot of young guys who are still on rookie contracts. So they are spending more for the salary cap, but the market is a different thing. But I'll talk to you afterwards because we're out of time.
Basically, if the Spurs aren't the best, Ethan's pissed.
No, I'm just trying to explain like the issue or whatever. But I'll talk to you afterwards because we're out of time. But we want to thank everyone for listening to us. And we weren't able to have Lou come in. He probably had something come up. And we'll hopefully be able to get him in either Friday or next Monday. But we'll tweet out about it. Make sure you follow us at USU Bullpen. And then our individual accounts, I'm at Ethan Chadwick 15. And we have at Meg Christine
5.
So make sure you follow us. And remember this Saturday, check out Logan City Limits on the Quad. And then also the spring game, which is at 2:00. I did look it up at Maverick Stadium. And then the dance thing at 7:00 in the Ellen Eccles Theater. And yeah, this is Aggie Radio, soon to be KBLU 92.3. And want to wish everyone a great week, and we'll see you on Friday.